أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم صلاة وتسليما يلقاني بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدًا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صلِّ اللهم وسلِّم وبارِك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وعنده مفاتح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو ويعلم ما في البر والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين صدق الله العظيم وقال تعالى هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام وكان عرشه على الماء ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وقال تعالى ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور صدق الله العظيم جماعة المسلمين I was sent a Jumu'ah Mubarak message actual fact my wife received it and passed it on to me I'm not one for what do they call it social media Especially when people type sent as received. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from sent as received. Ameen. But Jumu'ah message is labas. But this particular Jumu'ah message, in terms of the intrinsic, technical message therein, I had to take exception to because it is incorrect. And the whole concept on which this message is based is perhaps one of the most misunderstood concepts in Islam. And that is the essence of al-qada wal-qadr. Aw al-qadr wal-qada. And so the message goes like this, Jumu'ah Mubarak, everything in life is pre-written, but with dua, it can be rewritten. Now if you're speaking about that which has been written fi Ummul Kitab, what is the Ummul Kitab? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases. This is where the misunderstanding comes from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases and He establishes. And with Him is the Ummul Kitab. Probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the Quran as well. In fact, the erroneous, incorrect dua that is made on the 15th night of Sha'ban is based on the misunderstanding of this ayah. Now I'm going to attempt to explain in the simplest of terms this very integral pillar of Iman. Remember, this is not something يعني جانبيا. This is something that is the difference between Iman and Kufr. Belief and disbelief. Mal Iman? Jibreel alayhi salam asked the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he answer? An tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa bil yawmil akhiri wa bil qadri khayrihi wa sharri. To believe in Allah, in His angels, in His revelations, in His messengers in the last day, and to believe in Qadr. What is Qadr? And what is Qadha? We need to clear this up today, once and for all. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. But because this is such a complex issue, and wallahi, it hasn't only been the cause for confusion amongst the awam, it has even been a cause for confusion, or let's say disagreement amongst the ulama. Up till this day, the ulama, they still disagree on what is Ummul Kitab versus what is Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep to Himself, and what does He make privy to the malaika, etc., etc.? It's a great debate. And it's so important that we understand the limitations of our aql before we enter into this arena of discussion. And the aql, you must remember the aql from the word iqal. It was the rope that the Arabs used to use to tie their camels, like the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Aqilha wa tawakkal." Tie your camel and put your trust in Allah. Likewise, we use our aql to restrain ourselves. Rahimullah mar'an arafa haddahu fa waqafa 'inda. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, "Mercy be to the person who understands their limitations and stops at them." There's only so much that we can understand about this particular issue. And it's enough. Wallah, it's enough. It has put my heart, alhamdulillah, it has entered my heart, bardan wa salaman, coolly and peacefully. And it's something that I've been thinking about for years. And something, and I can tell you, ever since I embraced Islam, والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. All praise and thanks is due solely to Allah for guiding us to this, and we would not have been guided if Allah didn't guide us. So all praise and thanks to solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can tell you one of the greatest reasons that drew me to Islam was the fact that there is a reasonable answer for every question. And I thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding me even for those things that I didn't immediately fully comprehend and understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to believe that inshallah one day, if I don't understand it now fully, inshallah one day I will understand it. Because we are, wallahi, our understanding is so limited. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And you have not been given of knowledge collectively except a little bit. Wallahi, minuscule in comparison with the knowledge of the Creator, Cherisher, nourisher, sustainer, manager, controller, owner, and ruler of everything in the heavens and on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And having said that, it takes me immediately to the first verse that I quoted on this Jumu'ah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and for your homework purposes, we are in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 59. Allah, a very powerful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وعنده مفاتح الغيب. And with him are the keys of the unseen. Then he confirms it. لا يعلمها إلا هو. Nobody even knows these keys except him. So not only are the keys with him, but nobody knows about these keys except him. Now, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the predicate in front of the subject? We don't normally speak like that. I don't say, with you, brother Tariq, Allah reward him, our sound man, Ameen. With you, brother Tariq, are the keys of the sound room. We don't speak like that, do we? We normally would say, and the keys, if somebody asks you, where are the keys of the sound room? Then I will say, the keys of the sound room are with brother Tariq. Isn't that how we speak? Yes or no? But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the predicate and he puts it in front of the subject. Why? There's nothing in the Quran, in whatever place you find it, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in that place for a specific reason. And taqdeem and ta'khir, whether it be putting the object in front of the verb and the doer, or putting the predicate in front of the subject, it is very often for hasr and qasr, for restriction in terms of the meaning. Like iyyaka na'bud, I've explained this many times before. Iyyaka is the object. When we speak normally, I don't say, you I saw yesterday. I will say, I saw you yesterday. So iyyaka means you. You, na'bud, we worship. Why not na'budu iyyaka? Because had it been na'budu iyyaka, it would have opened up the potential for addition and conjunction. That we worship you and... potentially. Whereas if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it in front, iyyaka, then it restricts that meaning and gives us the meaning of you and you alone we worship. Likewise, with the subject and the predicate here, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. Had Allah said, وَمَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَهُ, and the keys of the unseen are with him, again, it would have opened up the potential for addition and conjunction. So he brings the predicate and he puts it in front, and what does it give us the meaning of? وَعِنْدَهُ وَحْدَهُ. That with him and him alone are the keys of the unseen. And to double confirm it, لا يعلمها إلا هو. Nobody even knows these keys. The whereabouts of these keys. The look or the existence or how they exist, these keys. إلا هو. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the world of the unseen. That is the world of the unseen. ويعلم ما في البر والبحر. And another topic for another time. Yes, Allah does give of His unseen. وَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولٍ. We're not going to go into that topic now. And He doesn't expose of His unseen to anybody except messengers that it is pleasing for Him to give to them. Another topic for another time. So that is the world of the unseen. Nobody has direct access to it. Allah gives of that unseen to whoever he wants of his messengers. And then we come to the dunya, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And he knows that which is in the land and in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُتُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And not a single leaf falls from a tree except that he knows about it. I want you to absorb this as we are going along. It just blows your mind. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. Nor is there a seed in the darkest depths of the earth. Not on the surface alone, but even in the darkest depths of the earth is there a seed. وَلَا رَتَّبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ. Allah goes further. Nor is there any living organism, وَلَا يَابِسٍ, or any dead matter for that matter, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ, except that it is in a clear book recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the Ummul Kitab. Let's us first establish, what is the Ummul Kitab? What is written? This is where the confusion comes in. It's like, okay, it's written. So khalas, it's like it is it's something that is forced upon me. It's written. What is written? This is pure knowledge. And this is where I'm just going to for a moment. And there's a long debate between the ulama about this. But I'm going to give you the opinion that which I'm inclined to, and that which makes most sense to me. That if you want to compare the difference between qadr and qada, qadr is ilm, qadr is ilm, qadr is knowledge. And qada is khalq, qada is creation. Qadr is ilm. In other words, that which is written is purely the knowledge of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows is going to take place in His entire creation. And when we go to the ahadith are very clear. And this comes in various different riwayat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the pen, He said to the pen, "Uktub ma huwa ka'inun ila yawm al-qiyamah." He said, write that which is until the day of judgment. If we are to take it in terms of stages, I want to give you a framework in which we are going to work now, inshallah ta'ala, a framework. Then there are four stages of Qadr. The first stage is before creation. Are you with me? What's the first stage? Before creation. In Bukhari, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرَهُ. Allah was and there was nothing besides Him. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ ثُمَّ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And His arsh was on water. Now the word ala can also mean consists of. And here we again, without having any certainty of the reality of the meaning of the arsh or the water, but in terms of our understanding of the creation and the common origin of the universe and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe, in terms of the scientific knowledge that is available to us today, we hear that the first isotope to appear in the universe was the isotope of H1, hydrogen 1, which is deuterium, which is heavy water. One part in every 6,000 parts of water is heavy water, deuterium. And from H1, we got helium. And from hydrogen and helium, we got the stars. And when the stars exploded, and the strong nuclear force of the gluons was melted, and the quarks of those hydrogen and helium hadrons were then separated, and the new helium or the new hadrons of the different lithium and carbon and whatever, and the planets and you and I and the seas and the samawati wal ard, that which exists therein was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it all began with with water. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And remember this, that the arsh is the grandest component of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the ulama are going to debate. Did Allah create first the pen or did He first create the arsh? I'm inclined to the opinion that Allah created the arsh first. Because the arsh is like the dharf. According to some ulama, the arsh is like the container of everything. It's the grandest component, أَعْظَمُ مَخْلُوقَاتِ اللَّهِ, and it's the container of everything in creation. And then, within the arsh, we find the kursi, of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That the kursi of Allah extends over all the heavens and the earth. Anybody got their remote on them that they can just... Alhamdulillah. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And the kursi extends over all the heavens and the earth. So we've got the arsh, which is the grandest component of creation. And within the arsh, you have the kursi, which contains all the heavens and the earth. And according to most scholars, the known plus unknown universe, physical, known and unknown universe, is only the first sama. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, was sama.